Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Listen to the bell brought back a story that's not even on my paper, but I'm going to share it anyway. The topic, what goes around comes around, came up after seeing this movie, Hidden Figures. And I have to tell Paul a little bit in advance what I'm going to talk about, so I really didn't know what I was going to talk about, but I like the title. So I had to go look and see what that really means to the rest of the world. So sometimes it means karma, right? And that came from Hindu and Buddhism, which thought, I'm like, well, what came first, Hindu or Buddhism? So I had to look that up. And actually, the Buddha, which means the enlightened one, and any one of us can wake up. That means wake up. This teaching woke me up. So we're all Buddhas in here, okay? You may have had some kind of other journey in the background, but as you awaken and you become more awake, we're enlightened. So we're the Buddhas. Not a symbol we're looking at or praising to. It's just a reminder of peace. And we're in the season of nonviolence. Bill brought up two things. So the first one is from January 30th to April 4th. The January 30th is the assassination date of Mahatma Gandhi to the assassination date of Martin Luther King Jr. And in that window is the season of nonviolence. And we're in that season right now. And that means to create peace within your own life. It starts with you. And the other that he read about was in one of the books, The Successful Living by Raymond Charles Barker. I consider him as my great-grandfather because I consider Dr. Kennedy Schultz my grandfather, and I consider Paul my daddy. So these are my teachers along the way that showed me how to become this enlightened, awakened one. So as I looked at life and things were thrown out there at me, or I thought they were coming at me. I didn't like the way they were coming at me. What goes around, comes around, begin to have even more deeper meaning. Really, the movie kind of helped solidify that. And we'll get into the story a little. Not everybody has seen it. How many people have seen Hidden Figures? Okay. About a third of the audience. So I won't give it away. I'll try not to give it away. Well, it's obvious what's happening, but I'll try not to give too much away. But in reference to how I found this teaching, I'm going to tell you a what goes around story just based on remembering Dr. Schultz. There used to be a jazz station called 107.5 here in Atlanta, which I love. Clark is here. I don't listen to it. Anyway, 107.5, I used to listen to it all the time. Every now and then I will listen to Clark. But I heard this advertisement in about 1998 that brought me to this teaching. It was Dr. Kennedy Schultz telling us a lot of things before, a lot of things after, but the resonance that stays with me is if you have a greater idea about God, just sticks with me to this day. I need to write a book on ... if you have a greater idea about God. Because I did, and he said it. Paul was at the beginning. He was like giving the little introduction to Dr. Kennedy's speech, getting us to come to the center. We're getting the word out now through Facebook and through word of mouth and that kind of way. But the radio was an offering too. What came around for me is that's how I got brought to the teaching. Before the station dismantled itself a few years ago, I was the one that announced Paul on the radio. I got to do the ad in front of him, and he was the main speaker. I'm like, that's what goes around comes around. So now we got to get a radio station back up in here so we can get this going around again. But what you put out comes back to you is simply what goes around comes around mean. I think karma may have some past lives with people, you believe all that. I'm really in the here and the now. So I'm going to have to deal with it from that perspective. If you go further, you can train me on that. But I know about the here and the now. That was a positive one. One that comes to mind just seeing my daughter is that her father became ill some years ago. And we had already divorced, and she wanted to see him, and she was still living in Atlanta. So I flew her up a couple of times to see her dad, but he wasn't getting any better. So at some point, I was feeling a little resentment. I'm like, why can't his family fly her up there to see him? Why do I have to? And what are that? You're just on and on and on and on, right? So this one ticket that I bought, I was just resentful about it. I did not want to pay for this ticket. He needs to send for her himself. And I did it anyway. What goes around comes around. Well, maybe a couple of days later, I was still in the I ran a light. Now, usually you can talk yourself out of a light ticket, right? Maybe. I had never done that before, so I wasn't sure how to handle it. So a couple of things were happening. I'm like, okay, I've never ran a light. Do you talk yourself out of it? But I thought about my state of mind right then and there. And while I was running that light, I was gnarling about something. The person that was in front of me that didn't let me go, it was all the same vibe from when I paid for that airline ticket. Well, something said, just shut up. Don't say nothing. So, got the ticket. I was headed to London the next month, so I didn't know whether I wanted to contest it in court or what. Well, London sounded like more fun, so something said, just pay the ticket. So I paid the ticket. There were no points or anything like that. Now, when I got ready to pay the ticket, guess how much the ticket amount was? The same amount as the airline ticket. Same amount. I mean, it might have been pennies off, but it was, and it hit me. It's like, if you're going to give, what goes around comes around. So you got to give in a way that it's going to come around in a greater way rather than in a lesser way. So as I thought about what goes around comes around, and I think about the Buddha and the peace, the season of nonviolence was where I did want to gather more peace. And it's funny, even from 1999 to that year, it was about 2012, I was still working on the peace part, right? We get in this teaching and we think we've got it all down. We don't eat once and for all, right? You got to eat every day. You got to drink water every day. So there is a practice every day about being peaceful, about being, what am I really putting out there in my thoughts, in my actions every single day? Well, the joy about what's happening with this movie is that I went to see it because I like to give movies their rating. If it's something I think I'm going to like, I'm going to go that weekend if I can to see it. If I can, it's going to be within that window so my money can count towards that box office hit. So I wanted to see this movie, and I got there, and I'm like, why didn't I know about these three African-American women that were a part of NASA? NASA was a big deal in the 60s and the 70s. And then I went to a historical black college in the 70s and 80s, and I still didn't hear about these women in Hidden Figures. So it's a lot of hidden ideas that are out there, and it's appropriate that it's Hidden Figures because they're all about math and science. There's a program, I work for IBM, that's kind of my day job. We're going to see how I turn this new day job as I'm putting out there what comes back to me, that it's more working with what I did after Hidden Figures. After I went to see the movie, I was so excited because IBM was in the movie. We looked like little nuts in the movie, but we were in the movie. But I like that these women that looked like me helped run that machine. And I'm wondering, wow, did they pave the way for me to be at IBM? My wheels started turning, really. So I started texting everybody I know, you need to go see this movie. You need to go see this movie. You need to go see this movie. So one is a volunteer. She's a IBMer too. We never work on projects together except volunteer projects. We have an IBM Excite Camp where we work with inner city girls, 7th and 8th grade, to promote math and science. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I do the 7 Habits part, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. You know, that's my heart subject. And I got a text back from her, Angela, you want to take the girls to go see the movie? I'm like, yes, I do. We took them. We had dialogue after the movie based on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I had always wanted to have forearms, not just here, because I do it. I said, what if I had those habits when I was a teenager? Now I'm getting to do it even more. And all of a sudden, this movie comes out with these women that look like the young girls I've been working with for years. And this set of girls, we just finished the program in November, and this movie comes out in January. It almost solidifies that what we have been talking about all these years matters. So we decided to do that. The girls loved it. We took pictures. The timing with that, the Atlanta Public School superintendent was there. I didn't know who she was. Everybody was hovering around and waving. I got to take a picture with her. But she was there because AT&T had bought out the entire theater for I don't know how many girls at how many schools to see that showing. So we got to see her, and we got to publicize that IBM was there with her. Who knows what's going to come of that? So my girlfriend, I call her a friend now because what she has done, she noticed how the dialogue was so rich with the Seven Habits on the Hidden Figures. She said, I want you to work with this other group I'm a board member of. That's where I got the picture from. I wouldn't have even had that. They were going to see the movie on Tuesday. I said, I don't want to see it again. I just saw it Friday. I'm not ready to see it again. But I will come out to your school and talk with you about it. Well, now they want to set up a seven-habit program in that school based on that dialogue that we had after the movie. What goes around comes around. So we can put things out there that we really, really like to do. We can gnarl the ticket. I won't forget the ticket. I've got newer events that I'll tell you about in another talk. But we are looking at what we put out in our heart and our minds matters. I'm reading Rosa Parks because my granddaughter brought the book home. I'm supposed to finish it. But she brought this book home because she's advancing her reading. So I thought about what goes around, comes around. There was a story in the book where, you know, Rosa just said, the only tired I was tired of giving in. I kept thinking that she was just tired that day is why she didn't get up. That's what I was told all this time. She was just tired of giving in. She was on that bus. She had paid her fare. She just didn't want to get up. I'm not getting up. Well, it came, if you know a little bit about the boycotts, little did they know that the fares that they were getting, they were all green. It didn't matter what color the person was, and they actually eventually found out that they weren't making the money that they thought that they needed to make, which kind of economically helped with that boycott. Because the ladies, there were ladies that were going to pick up their help because they wasn't cooking. They wasn't taking care of those kids, and they were not cleaning the house. So the ladies got together. Here it is, ladies again. Those ladies helped boycott that system, even when the husband said, well, you're not going to get her. Yes, I am. And she went and picked her up so she wouldn't have to walk. But they walked. They took other cabs. They protested. What they put out came back to them because we can get on any bus we want. If we want to get on a bus, we can ride where we want. In the movie, they showed colored and white bathrooms. There's no such thing today. It's an amazing thing. What are we putting out there? Now, we got this new president. I'm going to hold this book up. I want you to get into spiritual economics because it ain't about who's in office. It's about what you put out is going to come back to you. So this is our opportunity to get deeper into what makes our lives work. And I'm going to just read some of the chapters to remind you of the state of what you want to put out and what you want to come back to you. We actually did a virtual workshop on this, and anybody who wants to listen to it, I can get to you about it. But your fortune begins with you. Isn't that something to put out there? The law of visualization. This is what prompted this prop. I decided I was going to do another vision board. I want the child in me to come out as well as the adult in me. And I actually mentioned it to the 10 o'clock group. My daughter and I are doing this together. So this is what I'm doing to visualize what I'm putting out there, what I want to come back to me. So if I start getting all gnarly about something at work, take a look at my vision board and see some of the things. And, you know, I keep the sky open. The sky's the limit. And I don't know whether it's a subliminal message that I got this rocket shooting down from the bottom. Maybe NASA got into me. But I really have a metaphor in my mind about that, is that I want my ideas to be faster and turbocharged. They might have been a little bit slow before, so I better be mindful of what I'm putting out, because it's going to come back turbocharged as well. So I believe that's what that is. The heart is from the weekend with my teens in the mountains. I've got Snoopy on there because I've been talking about this book forever. So I'm going to write that book this year. So Snoopy is like, let me just read that one. It says, he's kind of just thinking, if you know the characters in the Peanuts gang. Snoopy's over here. He's got a little typewriter on the top. You know, he does all his thinking at the top of his doghouse. So then he looks down and he starts to type, and it says, book one, part one, chapter one, page one. And then he looks up. What a great start. So I'm going to at least do that, and I have started my book. So this is an opportunity to just spread what I want to come out back to me in another way. It's kind of visual. So I promote that. We're going to try to set up a session. So anybody who has magazines, and you can get them to us, and we'll set up a session, and we'll email you and figure out what day works for all of us. In the meantime, try to work on your own vision board so you can start to put things into action that you want to come out there back to you. Now, Paul did a talk over the last 4 weeks on the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. Now, it's very important for us to stay in tune with that, because what you're putting out there comes back to you. So if you know that there is a power that is greater than you, let it do that. Let it be that. Know that it works with you, not against you. So it worked with me with my gnarly self, as well as it works with me with my kind self. I think about things that I've been growing up with, you know, the stories that I've shared with you already. But Cinderella was like one of the first stories that I ever heard as a little girl. And there's some new versions of Cinderella I think I like better, where Cinderella is a little more empowered. She used kindness and courage. She doesn't just get stepped over. But, you know, the sisters kind of stepped over her. I don't know. In every story, the sisters and the mom were just vicious. But she stayed, the newer version, she stayed kind. And I think all versions, she stayed kind. She probably took more than she needed. What you think? You know about Cinderella? Yes. But she stayed kind. This one helps me to stay kinder. I look in her eyes and I get reminded of, you know, I don't want her to see that gnarly grandmommy. I want her to see that grandmommy that's pleasant and happy and joyful. So I like that courage. Now, all these stories kept coming on because the universe knew I was going to talk about this subject. The book fell off the shelf. She had a little bit to do with that book falling off the shelf. She was just playing with the bookcases, and here comes the book. I'm like, really? Man, I'm supposed to read that one. But Green Mile came on. Dead Poet Society came on. Talk about Dead Poet Society real first. Now, back to the Seven Habits. I was facilitating the Seven Habits for some schools, because when we go for our recertification every year, we join forces with other companies and businesses. So this one lady, Mary Kay, we got a Mary Kay in the audience, but her name was Mary Kay as well, and she invited me because she liked my style and my warmth and my energy to come facilitate with the teachers in the summertime. She used this movie called Dead Poet Society with Robin Williams, and he just taught from a different way. And he taught in reference to the thinking for yourself. And my mantra, if you see it at the end of any of my emails, says carpe diem. And that means seize the day. That means what we're putting in today comes back to us later. So what are we doing today? So that 7 Habits class and being invited to facilitate, because I used to have a paragraph for my mission statement, what I wanted to do. And she said, if you can't say it in the elevator, you need to redo that. It needs to be really quick, and you need to be able to tell somebody what your life is like. And that movie helped me find my mantra, seize the day. How are you going to spend that day? I might slip some days because I've had slippage since. But what's my primary vibration? What's my primary alignment? Where do I send my signals? I send them to, you know, let me self-correct, get back in the state of life that I really want to be in. So I love that movie. That movie wanted the boys to be free thinkers. And in the teen years, it's hard to do that. I hope this community creates a safe environment. So, one, we have parents that are already Buddhas, but we also have kids that are becoming enlightened and aware. So we're the community that helps. If I had had this sooner, what would I be doing with it? This is our opportunity to give it sooner so we can have a culture and generations behind us that know exactly what to do with this. There was a quote from that movie, Dead Poet, that I do want to read. No matter what anybody tells you, word and ideas can change the world. It's very important for us to have the right idea about life. We can set some negative ideas out there, or we can set some opposite ideas out there. Katherine Johnson is one of the figures from the movie. She's still alive. She's 98 years old. She was awarded the highest medal that a civilian can be awarded by President Obama when she was 97. I would love, and this is what I'm putting out there, hoping it will come back to me, to take my 7th and 8th grade girls from Price Middle School to either go see her or have her come here. And that, you know, she's 97 years old, so we can't play around. We need to make this go ahead and happen. So I'm announcing it now so you can actually join me with that. Being proactive about anything helps us to put out better things. We don't let circumstances, we don't let moods and feelings decide what we're putting out there. I let my mood and my feelings and those circumstances around, why can't he buy the ticket instead of me buying the ticket, instead of, thank you, God, I have the money to buy the ticket. This is helping my daughter to get to see her father. Little did I know on his last days. And when that ticket came, I shifted. And she had better last days with him. And not despite of me, but because of me. And this is our opportunity to be proactive. Habit one, begin with the end in mind. Put first things first. These ladies did those things. For those that saw the movie, you can recognize the scenes when they were proactive. You can recognize the scenes when they began with the end in mind. You can recognize the scenes where they put first things first. The next set of habits is think win-win. They had to have a think win-win attitude among themselves first before they could venture out in the world. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. They were listening. They were paying attention. It does not mean you have to agree with what's going on. You just have the simple respect of listening. Synergy is number 6. They synergized, and those boys got to outer space and back safely. That's synergy. The game today is synergy. I don't think those quarterbacks, Tom Brady, nor Ryan, can throw the ball to themselves. They got a team out there that they're going to be working with today. That's synergy. And habit 7, you take care of yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, and social emotionally. Sharpen the saw. Everything that occurred in those habits occurred in this life. They occur in our life. When we see our lives zooming for the stars, you can bet that you're doing the habits properly. Now, habits can be opposite. You can have those habits that don't work with you. You don't eat right. You don't sleep well. You don't take in mental information. That can happen too. I stayed up late last night because I knew Warren Buffett was how I wanted to end this. It came on this week as well. Oh, before I speak about Warren, though, Green Mile came on. I told you that. Anybody seen the Green Mile? More hands went up for that. Remember Percy Wetmore? Percy was this sadistic guard that was there with a... Tom Hanks was like the lead guard. He was a great guy. He's always this... Most of the time, he's this great guy. Most of the time. And he was a great guy in this particular film. But this guard who governor was the governor's nephew, you know, so he thought he had pull and he had clout and he could act any kind of way he wanted to. So Percy said, well, you know, I could go work at this mental hospital and I could be an administrator there. And I'm like, well, why don't you go do that? No, I want to see someone executed before I go. So Percy just sabotaged an execution at some point. So it's like, okay, you need to get up out of here. But Percy wasn't going nowhere. Percy just was just wreaking havoc. I don't know. Was he born that way? Did somebody make him mad? We don't know. But Percy was just all upset about everything, and he was wreaking that on everyone. So there's a character in there that was very unusual. This is a Stephen King novel where he could take away the pain and hurt, and then he puts it out into the ethers. So this guy actually got arrested, so he's in prison too. So there's different episodes where they see where this magic of this man is working, where he takes something negative away and he puts it out there, but something positive comes back. Well, they go take him to heal the warden's wife, and when he comes back, he usually spits out whatever that thing was that he took in. This time, he didn't spit it out, and they couldn't understand why. Why did he spit that out this time? It's going to kill him. Well, they get back to the prison because they had to put everybody else to sleep, the couple of people that were there. So Tracy, they pinned him in a straitjacket in a room, and then another guy that was a criminal was in there. He actually did the crime that that magical man was in prison for. And so he knew that because he could feel that. He could see that. He couldn't do much else, but he could feel that. And when he gets back and they let Percy out of this constrainment, he puts whatever it usually goes out into Percy. So you know it wasn't a good thing because it's something we're taking out that's inflicting someone in some way. So he puts it in Percy. Percy goes shoot the other guy. You know, guards can't be shooting a prisoner. That's what the execution room is for. And once Percy does that, then the stuff goes out. So now Percy, what goes around comes around. Percy's going to that mental institution, but guess how he's going? As a patient, because he has lost it. But we have to really figure, I'm like, why did that movie come on? That's what goes around comes around. We have to be very mindful what we're putting out. So I'll end with Warren. Warren Buffett came on. He is 86 years old. He is number 5, I think, on the Fortune 500 list, Berkshire Hathaway. That's up there. That is up there. And the story about him, what goes around comes around, is when he was 13 years old, he started working. 13. Seemed to have a good middle-class family, but he saw money in the beginning. And he filed his first income tax statement with the IRS at 13, and he deducted his bike because he was delivering door-to-door. Can you believe that? The biggest thing for the go-around, come-around, because I could talk to him about him for the rest of the afternoon, but there was this deal that he was making where he was partnering up with a company, and the company was having some shady doings, but he didn't know about them, and it was about to come public. And he had a very nice reputation out there. You know, he said, you can build a reputation in 20 years and it could be gone in a minute. So he really had to step up whether he wanted to put his name on the line for this company. But he looked at, there were 8,000 people that would have become unemployed if something had happened to that company. So he stepped up. He was going to make sure whatever happened in the past didn't happen in the future. But take me on my word, what we do out there, if you mess up the dollars, I can get with that. I can work with you with that. But if you mess up with ethics and integrity, then we're going to have a problem. And he put that out there right there at the beginning. So he ended up saving that company and saving all those jobs. No wonder he's a billionaire. Works, numbers, spiritual economics. He reads. I think he's agnostic. Doesn't matter. That means the law is the law. Cause and effect. What we put out to us comes back to us. And when it's generous and it's loving and it's kind, it's multiplied abundantly. You know, like the ticket could have been way more, but it was the same. That energy wasn't so charged, so it didn't cost me so much more. But when I do something that's positively charged, I've talked about Monsters, Inc., laughter was more charged than Scream. If you ever seen that movie, laughter, the good things has more power than the negative. I believe I have a quote by him as well as we close. I didn't get it. What I do want to quote though is Florence Schoffelskin. I did bring her. Do you remember her? She's life is a boomerang, what you throw out comes back to you with precise accuracy. She was an American artist and a book illustrator, and she became a New Thought spiritual teacher and metaphysician writer. The game of life is a game of boomerangs. Our thoughts, deeds, and words return to us sooner or later with astounding accuracy. Your word is your wand. The word you speak creates your own destiny. So it's very important for us to put out there those things we want to come back to us. Are we putting out love? Or are we putting out hate? Are we putting out fear and doubt and lack? Or are we putting out abundance and plenty and peace and joy and happy? This is our opportunity to boomerang life in the way that we want it to be. And as you see this day unfolding, speak into existence what you want. Just be tired of the mess. You can see it, but don't give in to it. Rise above it. You can transcend from any situation that occurs. This is the truth in my life. This is the truth in yours. And so it is. Thank you. Take that which resonates with you and leave the rest. And as we go into spiritual mind treatment, let us relax. Let us breathe in that substance that's readily available for us. You don't have to go looking for it. It is. God is. You are. Each and every one of us is one with this enlightened, aware, magnificent, creative, opulent, omnipresence. And each of us reflect that through what we put out there. We are unique expressions of this. That's why we all show up in such different glories and ways. This is an opportunity to heighten and rise above anything less than perfect. We will have some imperfect moments, yes, but there will be some perfect ones too as we put them out there. We lead with our head and our heart that they match and they will find our way, guide our way, open our pathway. We know that it is an opportunity for us to see how strong we are, see how kind we are, see the courage that we have. And we don't let outside forces, entities, circumstances to dictate the positiveness that we are. When we do fall short, we don't beat ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, we get up and we try it again. And we keep doing it. We keep doing it. We make it a practice, because when we practice, we get better and better and better. As you practice this, what you throw out and put back, bring back to you, is loving kindness, is givingness and charity to the world. You become a philanthropist like Warren Buffett, giving back to the world in a greater way because you see such gifts coming to you. It makes a difference, our attitude and our posture. As we give thanks for what is and we give thanks for what will be, the more we'll have to be thankful for. So lead a life of gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We release these dreams, these desires, these wishes, these commands, spoken and unspoken, in alignment with the greatest planet on the earth. And so it is.